adopted from a rescue in 2008. He really likes to be around people. I get out my mat and I'm doing a downward dog and he's underneath. He's quite the pug about town. He gets invited to a lot of parties. He knows he's a pretty big deal. Look at this little face. How could you not love him?
Hamilton the Pug, Instagram star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
The seven quarters on the dresser, pennies in the sock drawer, a framed picture of paradise taken the summer before. I learned to love cold showers, Frost learns to kiss, not bite, especially in the winter. I was alone every night. Yesterday and the time before. Opportunity comes knocking on my neighbor's door. So loud I can't sleep anymore. Seasons come.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to The Archive on 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts Free Form Radio. This is your host, DJ EJ. Hope you all have been having a good week so far and you've had a good day at work or in classes or whatever you've been doing for the past 8 or so hours. Hope you're enjoying the great weather. I certainly am myself. I know last week on my show, I said I was talking about how it feels like spring and now it feels like summer all of a sudden. So it's definitely progressing pretty quickly. It's close to 70 degrees here today in sunny Medford, Massachusetts. And I guess we'll just get straight into the songs this week, because I don't have too much to say about these first two songs I have for you, other than the fact that they're both very British and pretty angry. So of course this first song is by Gang of Four.
White noise. your new dreams daily.
The first song you heard just then was Ether, which is the opening track from Gang of Four's debut album, Entertainment, which came out in 1979. And Entertainment is one of my favorite albums. I feel like on the show I say a lot of things are one of my favorite albums, but Let's put it this way. I have it saved on Spotify, so it made that kind of cut. And that track, I love the kind of call and response vocals. The bass tone is absolutely gnarly. Got to give out shout out to Dave Allen, I believe his name was, who plays bass on that whole album. Not only the call and response between the vocals, the two vocalists who are John King and Andy Gill, the latter of whom plays guitar as well, but also just the way that the bass and the drums and the guitars kind of mesh together, but they all are playing pretty different things, different rhythms at different times, but it just works. So if you like that one, definitely go check out the album Entertainment, 1979 Gang of Four. And the track that you just heard, fast forward a good couple of decades, was by Idles, I-D-L-E-S, that's spelled. And the track is called White Privilege, and it comes off their 2017 debut album, Brutalism. I just recently heard that album for the first time, and I'm really happy to hear a new artist, making some pretty typical kind of punk sound, because there's a huge kind of post-punk revival that's been going on for the past 10 or so years, but it seems like straight up like 70s British punk has kind of died out, and it makes me really happy to see that they're kind of keeping it alive, but in a refreshing way. It's not just like Sex Pistols covers or whatever you want to say. Just got a thumbs up from DJ Pauly B, so thank you for that. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Idles does next for their next album, because, like I said, it's kind of like a homage to the older sound, but they're, like I said, pushing the envelope. And also, I have to say that the lyrics in that song are absolutely hilarious, and they're talking about some pretty pressing political and social issues. But one thing that struck me on the first listen was the little tribute that they paid to, or parody, I guess you could say, that they paid to, I saw her standing there by the Beatles, but they say, how could she dance with another when she's passed out on the stair, I believe, which is pretty amusing. And also just the first line, where it's like, how many rich people or something like that does it take to change a light bulb? None, because their butler changes it. So all this sarcastic British humor that everybody has come to love over the past 50 years or so. So those were some pretty punk kind of songs. And these next two that I have are also more loud, angry, kind of guitar-driven songs, but they're more in the stoner rock or stoner metal genre. And this first one that I have is by a staple of the genre, the stoner metal genre, and of course I am talking about Electric Wizard. So here is a nice juicy choice cut from them. Thank you. Okay, the first one that you heard there was by Electric Wizard, and it's from their 2000 album called Dope Throne, and the track is called Funeralopolis. Funeralopolis? Yeah, something like that. Yeah, that's an amazing song. I heard that whole album maybe a few months ago, 2 months ago maybe, and that has been the only track that stuck so far. That's usually the case the first time I hear an album, especially in a genre I'm not too familiar with. There's one track that really stands out, and I keep coming back to that track. And eventually, I end up checking out the rest of the tracks one by one, and the whole album ends up growing on me. But for now, it's all about Funeralopolis for me, from Electric Wizard. There's some absolutely filthy riffs all throughout that song. The tones are super mid-pushed and grimy and all that kind of fuzzy goodness. And I love the vocals, the distortion on them. It's pretty angry, pretty doomy. Obviously, since it's any kind of metal, although especially doom or stoner metal, there's lots of Black Sabbath influences on that track, which is never a bad thing for me, because Black Sabbath were so revolutionary and innovative. So yeah, that's pretty much Electric Wizard for you. And then the track that you just heard was by Truck Fighters, who I believe are a Swedish band, if I remember correctly. And that track was called Helium 28, and it comes from their album. It's actually a split album. It's Truck Fighters on the A side and Firestone on the B side. And the album is called Fuzz Split of the Century, which I think is an incredible album name. I absolutely love that name because it's so accurate, and it's pretty big claim to make, considering that album came out in 2003. They're saying that this is the definitive fuzz split of the century, and they don't care about anything else that comes out in the next 97 years before the century is up. And that track, Helium 28, and that whole album, actually, kind of verges more on the stoner rock side of things. So it's a little more tame, a little less, I guess, brutal and in your face. And the only real touch point that I have for the stoner rock genre is kind of Caius, who was the band before Queens of the Stone Age, who I am a big fan of. Queens of the Stone Age, that is. I haven't heard all that much Caius, but they're pretty good. And Queens of the Stone Age definitely carries on some of that musical style, that kind of deserty sound. So yeah, Helium 28, that's a pretty great track. I love how it kind of tones down at the end and it goes more acoustic, and with the kind of humming wordless vocals and all of the birds chirping in the background, it felt like a good way to wrap up that little set of two tracks, because the first one begins so face-meltingly heavy and then it kind of simmers down towards the end. So yeah, stoner rock, stoner metal, doom metal, whatever you want to call them, great stuff there. And like I said, I'm pretty new to that kind of genre, so I'm definitely going to be checking out more stuff of that style, because I definitely dig it every once in a while. And that's going to wrap up the first half of my show today. In case you tuned in late and you're just joining us now, I'm DJ EJ, your host for The Archive, and you've been listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. And since I said that's the end of the first half of the show for today, you can probably guess that I just turned my mic off. Sorry about that. You can probably guess that you have a PSA coming your way, and you would be correct.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger, two if you're very overweight, and three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, definitely make sure to write that down. You just witnessed the first audio diabetes test. So this is a pretty big moment for all of us. On a more serious note, yeah, definitely try to keep your sugar intake in check. Diabetes is a huge issue, and it's not fun for anybody, and it can really make a big impact on your life for the worse, I guess. I know a couple of people who have type 2 diabetes, and it doesn't seem too fun. It doesn't seem like something I would want, and I'm sure that's the case for just about anybody. So yeah, definitely keep on the lookout for that. All right. Anyway, moving on. So I was making this playlist, and I try to plan out, kind of make some meaningful, purposeful segues between tracks of different styles. And I usually try to do that, but sometimes I do it more than I don't. And sometimes, like today, I realize a good segue, while I'm on air, just thinking about the track listing. And so initially, these next two tracks that I had prepared for you all were just female singer-songwriter kind of tracks. But then I realized that this first one is kind of goes along with the doom adjective describer for Electric Wizard, how they're doom metal. This next artist, especially this album, has been described as doom folk, which is a genre label that I actually am quite amused by. I think it's pretty accurate, and it kind of sounds counterintuitive, but it definitely makes a lot of sense once you hear the track. And the artist who is this tag is associated with is Chelsea Wolfe.
Thank you.
Wrapping that one up, that's quite a bit of a downer, I guess, but anyway, the first track that you heard there was by Chelsea Wolfe, and the track is called Mer. It's in French for ocean, and it comes from her second album, which is from 2011, and the album is called Apocalypsis. Like I said, she's kind of been given this doom folk genre tag from a lot of critics, and I'm not sure what her take is on it. I found that a lot of artists don't really like being pigeonholed into these niche kind of tags, that niche genres that people made up just to describe their own work, or to describe one artist's work. So I wouldn't be surprised if she doesn't like it, but I think it's pretty accurate from my perspective. And yeah, that track is just super, super dark and twisted, and I don't know, I love it. She has a pretty great voice. She plays the guitar too, as well as sings. So yeah, some pretty great stuff there. I heard another one of her albums, which is from 2015, I think, and it's called The Abyss. But I think I preferred this album, Apocalypsis. Also, the title is stylized in Greek, which I'm a big fan of, because I think the Greek alphabet is pretty cool, and I'm pretty interested in that kind of thing. So yeah, shout out to Chelsea Wolfe, and keep kind of paving your own super unique path, because that's certainly what she's been doing for her whole career so far. I'm definitely going to be checking out more of her discography. And the track that you just heard there was by Cat Power. That's the name of the artist and I guess her band, although the singer herself is named Sean Marshall. And that comes from her 1998 album, Moon Pix, P-I-X. And the track is called Colors and the Kids. That album is really interesting. It's kind of a singer-songwriter, slowcore kind of thing. She plays guitar and sings. Most of the tracks are just her performing, and she also plays piano, as you heard on that track. And one of the most interesting things about that album in particular is the circumstances in which most of it was recorded, or written rather, not recorded. And the certain circumstance was that, as I understand, Sean Marshall was living on a farm somewhere, like a remote farm in the middle of nowhere with her boyfriend at the time. And one night she was awoken and she suddenly felt this really dark kind of presence nearby. And she looked out the window, and I think this was just like a sleep hallucination or something, but she said she saw like thousands and thousands of these dark figures like coming to attack her or do something. And obviously whatever they wanted, I'm sure, was not really what she had in mind, what she wanted to be doing at that time. So as anybody would be, as I would be, she was absolutely terrified. And she said the only thing that she had around to do to keep this horrible experience out of her mind was just to grab her guitar and start playing. And she just she grabbed her guitar and a tape recorder and just played for an hour. And that 1 hour session actually wound up being around half of this album, Moon Pix, or ideas from that wound up. She flushed them out into tracks from that made, she flushed it out into six different tracks that made their way onto Moon Pix. So that's pretty, I feel like that's pretty unique, coming up with like half an album's worth of material just in one session in an hour. It's pretty impressive considering the quality of the album. So yeah, that was Cat Power. I'm also going to be checking out more of her work because I love that album. I just heard I just heard both of those albums for the first time this week, actually. And yeah, definitely going to be coming back to these artists again. So as I'm sure you were well aware, that last track was pretty sad, pretty minimal, but also pretty beautiful. So I figured that this next track should be a bit of a pick-me-up, and in terms of genre, this one is way out of the ordinary from what I usually play, but I've come across this artist, and so far I'm really enjoying what I've heard of him, or him and his band, I guess, depending on the work. And yeah, this track is by Sun Ra.
Space is the place.
Like I said, that track was by Sun Ra, and his orchestra might have been present as well, although on Spotify that album is just credited to Sun Ra. And that comes from his 1979 album, The Other Side of the Sun. And that track, as you might have been able to guess, was called Space is the Place. Now, Sun Ra, well, I think that's the first time I've ever played jazz on my show, which I'm pretty sorry about. I've been meaning to get into jazz for a very long time now, and hopefully this might be the tipping point. So the reason why I checked out Sun Ra recently is because he had a number of releases on the Record Store Day 2018 list. And I'm a big fan of Record Store Day as a small vinyl enthusiast. I always see what's up, what's being released this year, and I usually try to go, and this year was no exception, but we'll get to that in a minute. So yeah, I saw Sun Ra had like four or five different releases, and I had seen his name floating around a number of places. I've heard great things about him. I've heard that he's really one of a kind, considering his genre, as I might describe it, would be space jazz, because he seems to talk about the cosmos and the sun and all that kind of stuff. Space is the place. There you go. So yeah, I wound up hearing this album, The Other Side of the Sun. And part of the reason why I picked this one is because it had this track, Space is the Place, on it, which I, as I understand, is one of his signature songs. And also, a reason why I picked the album with this song is that on Unwound's debut album, Fake Train, it mentions Space is the Place on the cover, which, if you've been following the show for any amount of time, you probably know that I'm a huge Unwound fan. So that certainly helped him get my attention. And yeah, so Space is the Place, Sun Ra. I'm definitely going to be listening to more Sun Ra because he has tons and tons of albums. I don't know how he was able to do so much. But anyway, back to Record Store Day. This year, I was looking for an EP by Swans, who, if you've also been following the show for any amount of time, you'll know how much I love them. And that EP was called Die Tür ist zu, I believe it's pronounced. It's German for The Door is Closed, and some of the lyrics are in German, which is pretty cool. I managed to pick that up, so I'm really happy. Another one that I was able to pick up was a collaborative effort between Merzbau and Thurston Moore and Mats Gustafsson and Balas Pandey. I'm sure I butchered at least half of those names. But the album is called Cuts In, Cuts Out, I think. Let me check real quick. Cuts Up, Cuts Out. There we go. And that's a live recording of kind of a free improvisation noise jam that the four of them had at a church somewhere, which is pretty cool. I'm very new to the noise genre, but it was pretty interesting, and I'll definitely be listening to it again. And the third one that I was looking for was a